I would say that this has not been planned. That's it. Very simple. The human psychology is they would not see how much expense that they are making as far as the value add is being met. In business, you have only two options.
If you have an idea which you strongly believe in and have the spirit of entrepreneurship thriving inside you, then trust me, this is the show totally for you. From the family of Reed Skyline, I welcome you to the 11th episode of The Business Boss. So far, we have listened to different entrepreneurs from various fields, but the guest of the day today is quite different from the others. Not because of the industry that he is in, but because of the segments that he chose to be in. To start off, he's into the hospitality industry, which is quite hit during this pandemic. But yes, about the segments that he's into and the challenges that he faces every day, we are directly going to listen it from him. So with no further delay, let us welcome the guest of the day, Mr. Kaushik Shekhar, the co-founder and the CEO of Plateau and AMQ Venture. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for your introduction.
Thank you.
So hope everything is fine.
Yes, sir. The video and the audio is perfectly fine. So we will directly go to the questions.
Right, right.
So tell us about the different segments, sir, that you are into through Plateau.
Superb. Yeah, we are a hospitality company. We deal with different services like MICE planning, fleet services, hospitality recruitment, and consulting for hospitality.
Okay.
When I say MICE planning, we do different activities like meetings, incentive programs, conferences, events. We work on both the corporates, leisure, business events. Mm-hmm. And we are into the fleet and as well as the charter services, where we provide the services in tandem of getting fleets. I mean, the cars, coaches, buses on rent. And charter services, we are into flights, jets, and helicopters on rent.
Interesting.
And we provide the recruitment, where we fill up different positions for the 5-star, 3-star categories, and working under the different lines of the recruitment processes, from end-to-end turnkey processes. Mm-hmm. And coming to the consulting of hospitality, which is like a hot selling cake this time. Because there are lots of hotels, restaurants, they are under the process of selling. What we do is we make sure that we consult in terms of providing any sort of management level support, operational support, taste and menu restructuring, revenue optimization, planning and management support, and optimization in terms of their automation process for revenue. And in terms of their food and beverage line, we are into their bar inventory control management automation, and also into the liquor control and optimization management. We have a product which aligns in terms of providing the accurate measurement as to how many mLs have been poured into a glass, how the restructuring for the product happens. So we give them in terms of something, if there is a tampering happening, for example, what happens is we give an automatic, it is not we, the product gives an automatic message and a mail stating that the tampering of the product happened at this time and date. So we immediately go to that particular restaurant or a hotel, we find out what happens, and we provide the accurate report in terms of why, where, and what measurements is going on. So basically the back-end activity, apart from the reservations and ticketings, has been the forte of the Plateau. Started in 2015 as a fleet services company. Later on, we moved towards different other levels of domains. That happens to be practical scenario. We worked on with a practical scenario wherein we got requirements, we got into it.
That's very interesting, sir. So honestly, I have not heard of, consulting for hotels and restaurants. Okay, so how did you get all these ideas, sir? So when did you decide that you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to step into this particular industry and expand to the other services?
I would say that this has not been planned.
Okay.
No, we started it as a fleet services company. Then what happened? is the client started bringing out some requirement, asking us if there is any particular, you know, service providers for any other processes, like you know, for example, if it is a consulting for hospitality, we got from one of the hotels that we've been tied up in terms of the brand. So they came up asking if you are having any sort of requirements for it, kindly you know, send us a service provider contact details. What happens is, actually, when we are getting those kind of requests, we normally process it, and instead of we send it to some third party vendor, we bring an expert on board, because we have a reputation management system in place. So when we are sending in other service provider, what happens is the quality would be compromised, which I don't feel personally that would make any sense to any of us. So we started bringing the experts on board. So it happened just like that. Now, when you have a service request, you bring an expert on board. So what happens is, normally you get to that particular service, you learn about the service, you experiment the service, and then it becomes a part of your process and part of your life.
That's a very practical answer, sir. As you said, with trial and errors and with the requirements of the customers, we move to providing the services. So talking about consulting for the hotels, so I have this long question which I will ask in two parts. The first is, how did you acquire the clients? You said that you started off with the requirements of the people, but then how did you, you know, acquire the other clients? How did you, because this segment is quite unique. And the second question is, after client acquisition, what are the challenges that you had in understanding their requirements? Because in general consulting itself, understanding a customer's pain points is quite difficult. So here you are turning somebody's vision into reality, right from selecting the location for them till you know, selecting the food and the beverage. So what are the challenges that you faced?
To answer the part one of your question, acquiring the client is as simple as you know, the day-to-day activity that we do. You know, that is part of our business, and acquiring is going to be a cyclic process. You know, when you say that you have X hotel, the X hotel person would already have been worked with a Y hotel, or he might be working with a Y hotel right now. True. So if you acquire the X hotel, you are already a process, you are already a, you know, procedure in your company. So what happens over here is, you would be behaving, you would be understanding their processes and procedure in place, the terms and conditions in place. So that will be added advantage for you. You don't have to have a separate procedure for the Y hotel right now. Okay. So all these in place, the next step, what you're going to do? Approach X hotel, the person who is there, ask for reference. They would give you Y hotel's reference, Z hotel's reference, or A hotel's reference. So what happens? Your person is there, your salesperson is there, take him. Or you know, if you're going, it's up to you. But we normally do is, we send a salesperson from our end. We discuss right there, hand in hand, and we provide the best deal in terms of the current market standard. And then one of our core team person used to go there, and he or she used to speak about the product, about the services, about the value adds, about the benefits. And they give them a particular quotation. The quotation would be at least about 20% than what we are expecting. It will not be higher. So what are you going to do here? Are you going to accept the 20% lesser quotation? Or are you going to say no to the client? We would say, obviously, we are working for 20% for the first 1 year, lesser than whatever that we are expecting for. But this 20% has to be revised post 1 year, irrespective of your personal performance, irrespective of your quality parameters. But we are not going to say that, no, we are not going to give you the quality, but we would make sure the quality is being met, where there might not be a situation that they'll come and ask why you're asking 20%. They automatically will revise it. So that is the part one. And part two, what are the challenges? Pretty simple. Challenges, I would say that there are, you know, the operational backend, number one. When you are going to approach a client, they will always have one vendor in place or one partner in place already.
Correct.
What extra are you going to give? Your services should always go with, if you are not going to target blindly. For example, if you're saying Radisson in Chennai, you would first go to the website of them, try to find out who are the vendors are, who are the partners are, and then probably you will study about their partners, what is their reach, how good are they, and what is their history, how many years or how many you know, once they are into the business, and who are the partners, what are their competencies, what are their experience in terms of their particular domain. And then what I would do, probably I'll chart a plan. Okay, they are going to charge this much, quote about 10% lesser. They are having this much of service. Mm-hmm. Have one service extra. You're not going to give too much extra because you are going to end up expensive. Your own capital expense will go for a toss. So give a very simple service. You don't have to take too much of time to design the process behind it. You don't have to take too much of time in operating that particular process behind it. Give that one with 10% less and discuss with them what else you want. And implement a phase-by-phase plan. Don't give it immediately. Tell them, I would look at after 6 months. I would look at after 3 months. After 3 months, if they are giving that opportunity, you can tell them very plainly, in service level, you add this. After 6 months, I'm going to give you this service. We would give that service, but within 6 months, we would definitely optimize and, you know, expand the service. You're not going to, you know, be with only one service. So with the two incomes, revenues, you would be able to add one service extra. That's it. Very simple. The human psychology is they would not see how much expense that they are making as far as the value add is being met.
True. That's a very detailed and a clear answer, sir. So with respect to this COVID scenario, what is the common advice that you're providing to your clients in the hospitality industry?
Keep your psychology in place. Keep your mind really calm and relaxed. Okay. Don't look at your income and expense chart. Definitely that will give you a burst of your heart or your mind. And most importantly, if you have any games to play at home, play a lot of games with your kids, your spouse, okay, your whoever. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when it comes to business, make sure that speak to a lot of people. Speak to a lot of like-minded people who are in the same industry. Make sure, chart out a collaboration plan. All that you can do is join hands together, because you don't have any common enemy over here. You're not going to fight with anyone. Rather, you're going to fight with yourself to come up, because all the bigger companies are more or less a startup right now. So you don't have any other option than joining hands, helping each other's revenue, understand each other's psychology, and make sure you come up together as a market ready when the market opens up, when the COVID allows you to go out and play safe. Definitely you will have a greater opportunity. When there is a zero, there will be 100. So always aim at 100 and don't be worried about zero.
I should definitely say this is a wow answer, sir. So talking about the other segment that you are in, charter services. So I'm sure the listeners are also very curious to know about it. So how is this whole process happens, right from renting out the jets and the aircrafts, getting the clients, and how do you even measure the customer satisfaction here?
Probably there is nothing called as satisfaction in anybody's life. I would tell you only one thing over here. You have only two options, either to live or to live well. In business, you have only two options, either to run or to die.
Okay.
When the customer, who the customer basically is very simple, that the customer, people used to say, customer is a king, customer is a god, customer is everything, customer is the money. Do not think in that way. The main thing is customer is the one who is also a fellow patriot in the same world. And he's also having the same sort of mindset, mind structure. You know, if you are speaking something, the other will definitely understand or reject. If he's understanding, he would say yes. If he's not understanding, he would say no. It is not that he understands and he says, no, I'm not satisfied. Basically, 90% of the answer is, you don't understand my context completely. So you say, no, I don't. I'm really not interested in it. So the customer satisfaction is very simple. When you are giving a service or when you are selling a product, your product should definitely kindle the emotion and make sure that it's not creating a need also. If you are, for example, you are selling a pen. A pen is very simple. It can be of a 10 different manufacturer. It can have 10 different types of pen, like a ball pen or an ink pen or a micro tip pen or whatever. But how are you going to sell it new? The customer already has 10 different pens at home. Why is he going to buy 11th one? That is the competitive world that you have to define. That I would be, I don't have advice, because it differs from a business to business. A Reynolds will sell it different way. a Hero will send it in a different way, and you know, whatever the other XYZ companies are, they have their different strategy. They understand their target market, their customers, their method, and they give it in a different way, stating that someone will have a very attractive way of giving it to their target audience. Their target audience is about 80% of them are school or college going people. If you take a pen, and if you take a hospitality service, 99% of them are from the hotel industry. Remaining 1% may be from different way. You know, if it can be an end consumer, it can be even an Indian army coming in, because they need some sort of cab services. They need to transport from one place to the other. They have army events happening every once in a while. You would do it in a cantonment board area. So basically, things are completely different. The way you understand, when you understand the context completely, you design a solution that automatically becomes a satisfaction.
That's a very good answer, sir. But what about the charter services? Can you please tell us the process involved in it?
Charter services, basically how it happens. I would say there are different type of customers in this. You know, if you're the latest news that was happening in the rounds, there was a businessman from Gujarat whose family got stuck somewhere in the northeast, and he bought a charter aircraft to transport them from northeast to his home. That cost about 20 lakhs of his money, but he doesn't mind about it. Just one day, one service, and it's all that he needs. He want to bring his family back home, so he did that. So what happens over here, he's also a target customer. You don't know that he is going to be a customer one day. You don't even know his name, that he's a businessman, he's from this place, he's doing quite good in his business, he's having millions and millions of money, because India has a lot of money in the bank, but that will never come out in terms of public money. It'll only be a private money. So what happens over here is so simple. Design your structure across different fields like manufacturing, pharma, political field, cine industry, cine line. And of course, you have a lot of, this point of time, you have a lot of medical transportation happening from various hospitals. Medical evacuation was the key factor that we worked in the month of April and May. We had transported close to about 80 odd different patients from Kananur Hospital to Chennai. Chennai Hospital, sometimes Chennai was not having extra beds, so we have to transport it to Coimbatore or Salem. So the evacuation was happening through road and as well as through flight. So through flight, it happens through charters, and we provide all the incubation facilities, all the government prescribed procedures. It should not be a normal flight. You should have something like how they have a different incubation facility. They have a separate ward. It is also a ward. The aircraft acts as a ward over there, and what they do is they carry out the patient with all the facilities that you can find in one single bed, with whatever may be your machines, your PPEs in place, where the nurses, doctors, everyone will be there. It is only thing is, instead of you get in one place, the aircraft would go from one place to the other to take you and drop you over there. So these are the target market. At present, it goes in terms of the medical evacuation or medical transportation that is happening. Otherwise, most of the people go through only in terms of high end, the celebrities or the political leaders. We have earlier in 2016-17, when we have tied up with one other company, we have had an great opportunity to fly Mr. Kalam from Delhi to Mumbai once. So we had a lot of other political leaders who did these kind of evacuations, because it's not their own wish, it's the government preference. As simple as that, the government doesn't want them to travel along with other people. So this happens in that way.
So obviously, whatever you said about the charter services are very, very interesting. So moving on, how do you think the demand for the charter services are going to change after this COVID, given the social distancing factor?
No, there are some security measures being taken by the Airport Authority of India for charter services. They have raised the separate terms and conditions under a bulletin model. Mm-hmm. What happens over here is the charter is already running out with only 10 or 12 or 20 because that is why it is chartered. So their only cautionary steps that they have taken is all these travelers or whatever the services that we provide in terms of that going to be a medical evacuation or a travel that's going to happen. You know, the measures that the central government and the state government is already raising is to check everyone. That happens within the airport also, and that happens before you board a flight. The same way with charters, when they come in, they would be first scanned and tested in terms of in the airport itself. And then when they come near the charter flights, our team will be always there with the required equipments and all those. They also give a mask if the, you know, the people are not having it. And they sanitize the entire flight once after the, you know, checkout has been done. So every once in a while, these things happens as a, you know, first aid or precautionary measure. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, if there is a slight increase in the temperature also, we don't allow the patient, I mean, the, you know, the traveler to board. They are not patient, the traveler to board. Mm-hmm. So those are the, even the central government and the state government's order. And we are also having the same stuff. And answering to your other part, mm-hmm. how do you see the current scenario for charter industry? Mm-hmm. I would not say that it's completely down, but okay. It's down by about 30% than normal. But okay. The slow increase is there. Right now, I would say that apart from the medical evacuation, we even started having a little of the traveler services, wherein we started doing the necessary supplies in terms of transporting the necessary supplies already from one place to the other. And we started even the immigration of people from the different parts of India when they want to travel in a charter services, because normally what happens is now the flight service has resumed in a special way. It's a new normal. They are not running all the flights. There is only specific amount of flights that is allowed to fly. The same way the charter comes into picture if there is no availability of a flight in a particular day. If there is about 500 travelers and there is only about couple of flights. So there would be an additional about 3 to 5 charters that we can run in that particular time, provided with the approval of the Airport Authority of India. You have to take the approval on that particular day. You have to onboard them on a special permission with all the checkups and all the first aids being done. And then you have to onboard them. And while offboarding also, the same procedure applies.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting to listen to this new normal. So talking about the cab rental services that you are into, so going back to the initial stages, when you entered the market, there must be a cutthroat competition. So what are the marketing efforts that you took to create the visibility for your brand and get the customers?
Okay, if I have understood your question rightly, for cab services, what is the marketing efforts that we have taken is what you're asking? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, because there are so many competitors out there, especially in this cab rental services, right? So when you entered, what are the efforts that you took to make sure that your brand is seen outside and the customers are coming to you?
The primary thing that you have to look at is what is your competitor's price? Mm-hmm. How is he providing? Mm-hmm. What is his boundaries are? Mm-hmm. Where all he's having your his services and where all you can explore your services. And when you approach a particular client and tell them that these are the services that I provide, they'll say, yeah, I already have the services with me and it's been provided by XYZ provider. And they are providing at this rate. They are not going to say only providers and stop. They'll say at this rate. Why? They themselves put a condition. I am expecting you to come on board. But only problem is price. And whatever may be the price, they are going to tell you 20%, 30% lesser than what they are currently getting. So what happens when bargaining happens? You would even go further down in giving 50% lesser. But what are you up to? Are you going to give it? Are you going to give it for 50% lesser now? Or you're going to provide it on your price which you are looking for? I would say 30% lesser accepted. But I would not bargain. Instead, I would give you a value-added service. I would not only provide you fleet services, because we have tied up with the food and beverage companies like Chai Kings, like Domino's Pizza, Adiyar Ananda Bhavan. Why? Is because if a person is waiting on the launch, waiting for the cab, or the one who offboarded the cab, waiting for the flight, they can make use of our food and beverage services at the airport or at the railway station, at the metro station, wherever, with our coupons. We are providing the loyalty points, reward points, coupons. He can dine in. He would be just doing only one thing. Log into our portal. He wants whatever the menus may be, order it. The person would deliver it. And it's going to be always lesser than 20 to 30% or 40% or whatever. There'll be a shop discount. There'll be a plateau discount always. So he would get two different discounts. So what happens at the end of the day, the hotel's customer, he would be getting a hotel customer satisfaction survey. So he would rate the hotel high. He would have the hotel would retain the customer. And through referral of word of mouth, he would be getting few more customers also saying that they are giving this service. Okay. But the hotel is not providing, simply Plateau is providing it. So this is the other way around to keep your client, to get your more client, because they are going to provide you more services.
So it's all about the partnership with the clients itself and the value added services that we provide at each step for them. So moving to MICE. So what do you think, how the whole service is going to change after this COVID scenario? Because we are not going to encourage face to face anymore, I guess. So how this is going to happen virtually? The way you're going to plan and organize?
I would not tell you in terms like there'll be a much change. I would not say that there is going to be a new normal completely.
Okay.
People have already been living for about whatever may be their time is. They might be, even if you ask me, I'm living in a normal scenario for the last about 30 odd years. So you cannot simply adapt 100% new. So people's mindset would be still old. How they are living, what their comfort level, what are the day-to-day activities that they are doing, and how are they managing their work-life balance normal, and what is the service that they are opting. So these are going to be still the same. Only thing is you are going to have a security measure and a health cautions in place. Mm-hmm. Just highlight the health cautions, that I'm having the sanitizer in place, I'm having the tissue paper in place, my driver is having, he's always using the mask and gloves. His mask and gloves is really completely, it is protected. It is really the high quality that you're using. Even that bulletin is there in your profile. That itself is enough, because people are not looking simply to not to go out. People want to go out with the safety cautions. So whichever is the need of that particular hour, that is what you have to highlight.
That's very apt, sir. As you said, we have to adapt to the safety cautions. And moreover, the answer that you said doesn't just apply to the hospitality industry, it applies into all the sectors. So in all the segments that you are into, the services that you provide, delivery support partner plays an important role. So give the audience some tips on how they could properly select the delivery support partners and maintain a healthy relationship with them.
When you ask a delivery support partner, how a partner should be chosen to give a service, first of all, it is not that much of a rocket science. You don't have to see how many years of experience that the partner has. But when I'm speaking to a person-to-person conversation, I used to see what value add he can bring to me as a person rather than a company. Mm-hmm. So when I tie up with the same person for a service, he used to give me the same sort of hospitality, first of all. If he's so polite and professional, if he's so calm and patient, it is going to even reflect in his business also. He would have it as part of a procedure. So what happens over here at the end of the day, check what is he capable of and what is he his traits, how is he going to do it. Mm-hmm. So when you tie up, very simple, your business expectations are different and your personal expectations are different. You put a two different terms and conditions saying that be patient and polite when it comes to speaking to a customer and give a service which is going to be a value add. So two different expectations are being met. And when after tie up, what do you have to see? 1 month down the lane, is he going to live with the same sort of state or is he going to change his colors? This happens in most of the cases that I have dealt with. What happens is they are new. They would be acting, pretending as if they are really very polite, professional, patient or whatever the trait that they have. Their quality is really very good. Their service is really up to the mark. But after 1 month, you would come to know slowly that they are losing focus, they are losing interest in your business, they are losing whatever the, you know, the core values are. What you have to do at that point of time, very simple. Don't chuck them out. Wait for another 1 month, but start reducing their values. Tell them indirectly that you are not worthy to me right now by bringing another person with the same traits in. So what happens over here, they would feel as if they have to do something extra to stay, because money matters at the end of the, you know, end of the relationship, wherever you go. So that is when you need to understand what you have to do. That's based on a personal value first, and then comes your professional value. So choose your partner according to how you feel comfortable with, rather than their past experiences, their track record. Those are not going to value, because if they are so big, they are not going to respect you. If they are so small, they are not going to, you know, abide to whatever you are, because they are simply, they are not abide to terms and conditions.
That's a very practical answer, sir. I'm sure the listeners would definitely get benefits after listening to this. So you're handling so many services right now. So have you ever felt so bottlenecked handling these many things at a time, or have you felt any, you know, lows? How do you manage such times?
I would rather reply back this question with another question. Right. How are you managing your day-to-day activity? Haven't you got bored of it? The simple question is, answer is no, because you got to do it.
Yes.
It's your bread and butter. If you are sleeping, you have to get up. If you are getting up, you have to have food. You have to take bath. Mm-hmm. Your day-to-day activity follows. So this is one of a day-to-day activity for me. You know, you have to really do it to live. And how am I going to do it better makes me to be even more, you know, in terms of my client list, clientele, mm-hmm. and more in terms of revenue. So if I do it better, I get better paid. If I do it better, I'm going to get more clients. If I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to get it. So this is what the simple thing that I used to say my team also. Never think as if you're doing an extra work. Just sit in, enjoy whatever is happening around you, whether it's good or bad. If something is hitting you, I know that the pain will be there, but you can't do anything. Simply you have to sit and take it fully, enjoy it, and then try to come out of it. You don't have any other option, because life doesn't give you option, rather the business doesn't give you any option.
Great, sir. So I'm coming to the favorite question of the show. I ask to every guest, what is your source of resilience? That is something keeps you on the business, irrespective of the challenges that you face.
Source of resilience. I would say that there is always one step ahead in everything. You know, I don't see there is something normal these days, because people are extra talented. People always have more things to share. And when it comes to a business, when I'm, you know, recently it happened, I've interviewed a person. You know, I would say that the kids that are born after 2000, they are so intellectual, they are so intelligent and smart. If you ask a question, definitely they'll get back to you with a question only. They're not going to give you an answer. So what happens over here, the resilience that is we are talking about, that changes from a perceptive to perceptive. So I would say that where you go, what is your goal, how are you going to meet that goal, is broken into equal parts. It's wish, parameters, procedures, and then comes your execution. And my goal is whatever I'm doing right now, that is going to be my rest of the time. Either I'm going to expand my service or I'm going to shrink my services. Still, my services are going to be the same. only the domain that I'm living with, I'm going to change it every once in a while. And where comes your part, you're going to do it. Wherever there is another part that the others are going to work on it. Mm-hmm. But how are you going to make them work to make your goal attained through them is your vision.
That's very inspiring, sir. Since the start of the show, the answers, every answer that you gave is so practical, very clear, and very detailing also. Thank you so much for coming to the show, sir. Irrespective of the troubles that we had in the network today, still, you were so patient with us. Thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thanks a lot. It's my pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you, sir. And my dear audience, I'm sure that you would have also got a lot of insights from Mr. Kaushik today. So yes, I'll meet you in another episode with another interesting personality. Till then, keep learning and keep growing altogether. Thank you.
Reach Skyline. Embrace digital.